today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Hyatt ups the ante in the free Wi-Fi battle, and Alaska Airlines is offering the first bag free all during January. We'll tell you how you can cash in.
What do travelers want in the new year? Syndicated columnist Christopher Elliott has the public's opinions, but will they have any impact on airlines, restaurants, and hotels? Check out our travel roundtable at 3:15.
The question is, should you invest in travel insurance or cancellation protection when you travel? Gwen Duncan, our Deal of the Week gal, joins us at 3:35 for a lively discussion.
And finally at 3:50, a tribute to a man who once sat behind the microphone at this very station, and he was a man who changed many lives. We remember Lee Nichols in our final segment.
All that, plus a report on which airline is most likely to lose your luggage as we make you a smarter traveler right here, today, on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
You bet we will. It's another edition of the Travel Guys. In fact, the first edition of 2015. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano, and thank you for tuning in. Hope you had yourself a wonderful holiday, both Christmas and New Year's, and you're totally exhausted and ready to get back to your life as you know it.
What's Mark, going on in the radio station?
Yeah, what happened, Mark?
They moved everything here. The big old counter that used
they
to
moved
be,
your
right?
cheese. Did they?
The counter this? That used to be here. That I'm. Is this Ed Crane's spot here?
And actually, that's normally Kitty O'Neill or Amy Lewis's.
So somebody must have decided they didn't like that large, cumbersome thing there.
Well, it's one of those items that you use to elevate your desk, your monitor, and your so that you can be up a little higher. It's an ergonomically
maybe somebody who stood up while they did their newscast.
Exactly. I know Kitty has done that quite some time. Amy, not a big fan. I don't know. Maybe it's broken. Are you going to be okay?
There's a new phone board here and everything. Did you see that? You don't have a new phone board, but look at this, brand new.
That is pretty nice, yeah.
Bells and whistles and things. I have no idea how it works.
You seem to be having a difficult time adjusting to your surroundings.
Well, it's a new year, you know, and I've been on the road, seems like forever.
Okay.
I just opened a Thanksgiving card from someone yesterday and sent them a little text and said, thank you for the Thanksgiving card.
For those that are just maybe joining us for the first time, Mark runs this little travel company called Sports Leisure Vacations that takes people on tours all around the world, and he scouts out a lot of trips besides hosting several, and spends quite a bit of time on the road. Mark, how many days a year do you think you travel?
This past year was 241. Out of 365? So that's 2 out of 3.
So all the information you'll get from Mark is basically that of a professional traveler. Now, if you ask Tom how many times I travel a year, it's usually the typical family vacation type of thing of maybe 3 times a year. So you can get advice from me on this program from the common guy who travels infrequently, and we've got Mark, who is a professional traveler. So pretty much anything that you're going to need to know and the questions that you have will be answered here on a week-to-week basis from 3 to 4 on this very silly show,
Plus
The Travel Guys.
Small piles of baloney that occasionally don't have anything to do with anything. Hey, listen, we have a situation here. We gave away a bunch of prizes early in December. We called it Travel Guys Christmas, and Luis took email addresses and stuff, and we've got a couple that, and I'm suspecting that what's happening is when we send these people the follow-up thing, it goes to their spam. And so they never get their prize. And so we have 6 people that we have been unable to contact. So I don't want to read email addresses, but first names. Hermaninda. Let's see. Here's another one. Dawn, Richard, Marcy, Lynn, and Judy. Those are all people who, I mean, those are very common names, obviously, most of them. But if you're one of those people and you won a prize from the Travel Guys and you never received it, the reason you didn't receive it was because your computer kind of blocked us from communicating. So if you call Luis here at the station right during the show today at 921-1530. He will take your information, verify that you're the right person because we have your email address, or at least we think we have your email address, and then we'll get you your prize. So if you won a prize last month and you didn't get it yet, 921-1530, it's probably hung up in the somewhere in your spam mail. We'll fix that.
Yeah, and if we don't reach them, do I get the prize? Luis and I get to say, we'll split them? How's that going to work?
No.
Oh. All righty, let's fire up the band and get to the travel news on this fabulous Travel Guys radio program while Luis takes those calls of the winners that haven't won
their
prize
yet. Winners
that
didn't win, yes. Okay. The Travel Guys absconded with your prizes. The major hotel chains have been... Christopher Elliott has a survey we're going to refer to in the next segment about what do travelers want next year. And one of the things that travelers want is Wi-Fi. They want it for free, and they want it consistently, and they want it to be of good quality.
Yeah, the last one is particularly. As right now, you can get it, you pay for it, and it doesn't work.
And hotel chains have recently, major hotel chains that don't previously offer free, haven't previously offered free Wi-Fi, are falling all over themselves to try to offer this to their customers. Marriott and Sheraton Starwood have already checked in, but they've both said that you have to make your reservation with them. You can't make it with a third party. In order to qualify. So if you go with Expedia or Hotels.com or someplace where you don't know what hotel you're staying in until you get there, you wouldn't be eligible because basically Marriott has to pay those people more money for those reservations. So Hyatt comes out last week and bursts everybody's bubble. Hyatt says that starting in February, Marriott and Starwood are starting the 15th of this month, they will give free Wi-Fi for all, and you don't, doesn't matter where you booked your reservation.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, if you stay at another Hyatt, you're going to get the free basic Wi-Fi. So now it'll be interesting to see if Starwood and Marriott back off of their, well, you have to book it through us, or if they stick to that and try to make, and then, of course, as you mentioned, the question will be not that the Wi-Fi is free, but what level of service is it? I mean, is it basically you what you used to get with a dial-up telephone, or is
right.
it mm-hmm. legit? So that's what.
Very good.
So there, Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi is coming to a hotel near you. We just don't know what quality it will be.
The battle for Wi-Fi is on.
Is on. Choice hotels. If you stay in Choice hotels, that's Quality Inns and Comfort Suites mm-hmm. and Sleep Inn, and they have a few other brands. 3-for-1 points from December 29th all the way until February 18th. If you have a stay that includes a weeknight, which is a different twist. Usually it's a weekend. Stay at a Choice hotel. If your stay includes a weeknight, you get triple points up to 30,000. That's a pretty good deal since with two stays, basically, you can get enough points to get a free stay. So two stays get you a free stay is a good deal.
Line of thinking and what's going on with points, Starwood's is offering you, if you choose to not have them make up your room, they'll give you an extra.
Oh, yes.
They give you an extra 500 points.
The green option.
There you go.
Yes, they'll give you an extra 500 points, or if you're not a Starwood person, they'll give you a $5 food ticket.
There you go.
And some of the other chains are starting that option now. So for some people don't like to have housekeepers in their room. And some people are capable of cleaning up after themselves. I wouldn't be one of those people. But so if you don't need a housekeeper on a particular day, why not cash in with a few extra bucks and save them? Ask about it next time you check in. Of course, now some of these extended stay places, you know, they don't have housekeeping every day.
Right.
You check into like Residence Inn, it's like once a week or twice a week.
There you go. You're a resident.
Yeah, exactly. Or you pay if you clean up after yourself. We mentioned in the headlines about Alaska Airlines, which is in a little bit of a battle with Delta. Delta's moving in on their big hub there in Seattle. Remember, Delta's going to have service to Seattle from Sacramento starting in May or June of this year. Well, Alaska has fired back. Alaska says if you belong to their frequent flyer program called Mileage Plan, and you fly with them in January, you get your first bag for free. And all you have to do is be a member of their program. If you walk up to the gate to check your bag and you're not a member and you become a member on the spot, you get the bag for free. Now, how good of a deal is that? I mean, that seems like the fairest thing that has come along down the pike in a long, long, long time. So kudos to Alaska Airlines for once again upping their competition.
And they're going to sign up a lot of people in the month of January.
They are going to sign up a lot of people in the month of January, and good for them. All right. Worst airlines for baggage handling. We mentioned this also up at the top of the show. You know, airlines, airlines really and truly do a pretty good job of handling
on the
bags,
whole, absolutely.
On the whole. And not always Mr. Romano's bags, but more on that in a few minutes. But a list here has come from the Department of Transportation. They keep tabs on mishandled bags, which includes not just lost, but damaged, delayed, and pilfered bags as well. This is the number of bags per 1,000 passengers. So 1,000 passengers is 130 passengers on a 737, roughly, maybe 150 on today's 737. So let's call it seven airplanes. Out of seven airplanes, this is how many bags roughly get lost. At the bottom of the list, the best of the 12 listed here, Virgin America. Okay. Our buddy Henry works for Virgin America. 1.01 bag lost for every 1,000 passengers.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Boy.
Then comes Frontier, JetBlue, Hawaiian, all with very impressive low numbers. Then Delta, Alaska. Then we get to the top six, and it starts to take a pretty significant jump up. 3.7 is where United is at number six. 3.7 bags per 1,000 passengers. Roughly a bag for every other airplane. American 3.8, Southwest 4.3. They used to have among the best record in the industry for handling bags. That's before their customers started connecting along within their system.
Mm-hmm.
And at the top, this is what's important to know here. That'll help make you a smarter traveler. The three airlines at the top are all commuter airlines. SkyWest at 4.8 bags per 10,000. ExpressJet, which is United's main commuter carrier, per 1,000 passengers, 5.8. And Envoy Air, which used to be called American Eagle, 8.8, which is almost double the next guy down the line.
Now, when you're talking about lost bags, are these bags that are never recovered or just late getting to their destination?
This counts bags that are lost, delayed, damaged, or pilfered, stolen.
Ooh.
So that's any type of issue. But what it really tells you here is that Virgin America is not going to lose your bag. And of the major carriers are all kind of in the middle, but the thing that brings you down is when you get on those commuter flights. And you get on because guess what? You go into Denver and you land in United, the part of the airport that's run by the commuter section, all those people make a lot less money than the people who are working on the mainline planes.
Interesting.
So it's not surprising that it's a little bit different and less efficient operation. So not only do you have to ride in those 50 or 70 passenger tin cans that are incredibly uncomfortable for hours at a time, but the chances that your bag will not be there when you get to the other end, if you rode on one of those planes, is 2 to 3 times what it was if you just ridden on a mainline flight.
And there you have it. Is that the travel news?
That's the travel news.
There you go.
I'm done.
And we are the travel guys on KFBK. We're going to talk, let's see.
We're going to come back and talk about Christopher's survey a little bit.
Right.
And then we're going to talk about some of the interesting situations you encountered on your holiday.
Boy, do I have some stories for you. And I guarantee you each one of them will make you a smarter traveler. Don't miss it. Wow, we're back already. What do you know? It must be the travel guys.
3 hours of commercials and we're already here. No.
It's Sunday afternoon between 3 and 4. Must be the travel guys. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark?
A company that buys some of the commercial time on this program, so you won't have to listen to so many commercials. That's a fact.
Now, don't belittle commercials. I'm not here doing the travel guys.
You're making money by doing commercials.
I'm in charge of the commercial inventory that is heard on this radio station. And I don't know if I should have revealed that. Now
you're probably
our ratings just
and people around town who listen to the radio on occasion, probably who listen to the show from time to time, are listening to another station, and they'll say, God, I think I know that voice.
Well, here's the thing about, and then I'll let you move on.
Okay.
Here's the thing about commercials, and we've been down this road for decades, is that without commercial information, where would you find out about the great buys, great deals, the newest products? Mm-hmm. Commercials are extremely informative, and I don't know how society would deal with not knowing where the sales are and what would go back to stuffing your mailbox to the level where it is during a political, during an election campaign.
Well, I'm a businessman. I mean, without advertising, how would you tell people what you do and how you do it? And
So there you go. So that's why there are commercials, and they have a lot of value.
And commercials have been good to you over the years.
They have.
They have.
Absolutely.
You've written many, and you've voiced many, and you've...
And I hope I've entertained along the way.
Mr. Commercial, Tom Romano. Speaking of Mr. Commercial, Chris Elliott, who has his fingers in more than one pot, who is on the air with us from time to time,
sure,
and has a column in the Sacramento Bee on travel on Sunday. And in fact, he's talking about baggage with Southwest Airlines this Sunday, and a lady who had a lost bag, and you can read it in the Bee today. Christopher did his USA Today column last week was what do travelers want in 2015, and he was talking about, you know, that they only give airlines a D+, and they gave hotels a C, and online travel agencies a B-, and, you know, what are travelers wanting? And one guy just said, look, I just want a minimal amount of customer service. He says, I just want to be treated, I just want quality service at a fair price. He says, is that really so much to ask for? And I don't want to be nickel and dimed to death forever. That seems fairly reasonable.
Not much to ask.
And you know what? I would echo that. Just stop surprising me with little things that don't matter and that don't. You had some interesting travel experiences yourself this past week, Mr. Romano.
I went
down to San Antonio.
Yes, and I'll see if I can get this all in short order, because there's just so much. I've been so excited to get back and share with you, our listeners, some local travel. And I mean local meaning leaving Sacramento and traveling to San Antonio by way of Phoenix. The first thing I want to advise folks is that when you travel out to Southwest and you have your boarding pass printed, when you get to the gate, there is a possibility if the airlines didn't print the boarding pass with enough ink, uh-huh, it will not scan.
Now, they printed this or you printed it at home?
Southwest printed it themselves at check-in.
In fact, in this
case, it was at the outside, the curbside check-in.
And you got to security, wouldn't scan because the printer...
Exactly.
We've
all seen that, where the print is not strong enough. So,
but I've never had it ever not pick it up before.
There you go. I was pre-board with TSA, and they sent me to the kiosk just outside the gate, where I had to print another and got right through, got it scanned and made my way on. However, in Phoenix, my son-in-law, with a ticket that he had printed, his first one in Sacramento was fine, but his one from Phoenix was faint as well. And we had left the airport just briefly to take the dog to the boneyard.
If
you travel with dogs, sometimes you can take them for a potty break just outside of security. On the way back from into security, his pass wouldn't scan. They made him go back out to the end of the security line and start all over. So my advice, print at home on a printer with fresh ink so you know it's going to scan, because it never occurred to me that you could run into this.
If you get a boarding pass that's printed rather lightly, you might want to reprint it at the airport.
This was a nice little cardboard kind.
That Southwest printed.
Yes, but it was it did not scan. The other advice I can give you is, particularly if you're, you know, like my daughter's situation, recently married, her ID did not match her boarding pass. We made the mistake of booking it under her new married name.
Ooh.
Her driver's license hadn't changed. We've talked about this on the air.
Right.
Bring your Social Security card and your marriage license. Well, guess what?
That's what TSA says you need.
Yes, well, that'll get you through, but it's going to take you a heck of a lot longer. You're going to have to wait for a supervisor to come. You're going to have every piece of item that you have with you searched. You're going to have a pat down. This may be because it was the holiday, but there will be a lot more scrutiny. So
yeah,
whatever you do, even if you haven't changed your name on your driver's license, it's okay. Book your flight under your maiden name and move on.
And I think that maybe is the most important point you make here, is that even if your driver's license is a little bit off,
if it's somebody else's driver's license,
the name on the ticket has to match the name on the ID that you're going to show TSA when you get to the airport.
To the letter. Yeah, don't have any abbreviations, and don't forget the middle initial. We flew back from San Antonio to Phoenix. We took the late flight out so we could spend, and a lot of people do this,
right,
they'll book that flight home from a vacation late in the day so they can spend more time with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's going to happen there is you're going to be faced with being the last flights out for that day.
Right.
So if you have a flight that's delayed leaving your first destination, it may or may not get to your connection in time to get on that plane. as Mark and you and I discussed, Southwest is very good about holding a plane.
Yes, they have lately been doing
that. They had a lot of folks that were, and it was the last flight out of Phoenix coming out of San Antonio, and they did hold it. And as you watched, you could check your, you know, check on your phone, and it would show it was being delayed as well. And it got delayed to the point where it was, you thought you were going to have some time, but, you know, it boiled down to about 5 minutes from landing to takeoff.
Wow.
So we're running from one airlines to the next.
In Phoenix.
Exactly.
Sky Harbor is not a small airport.
No. And, you know, C-13 is not next to C-9. I want you to know it's about a half a mile away. And so you get there, you got the fast walking escalator things that you can, and then people will get on there and stand, you know, and then it's like a, like being a track person, you know, you go, say passing on your left, passing on your left. So walkers on the right. The standers on your right, walkers on the left.
I feel like a therapist here, but go ahead, Tom.
Anyway, so we make the plane, but we had early boarding, which was obviously no
Kaputsky.
Use. So we pick the...
So wait a minute, what happened there? You paid for early boarding,
yes.
But they've already boarded the airplane by the time you get there. So will they refund that to you?
Or? We talked to the airline after the fact, and they said that you go to the website, and there is a mailing address, and you can mail in your information and request a refund.
Okay.
Refunds are not normally given if the plane is delayed because of weather. So this was a mechanical issue. There's a good chance we'll get it back. I'll let you know.
Okay.
But you can't ask for it back.
Interesting.
But you won't get it back if it's weather-related.
So they held the plane for you. You did make your connection.
We did make the connection. We had to sit in middle seats, but our luggage did not.
Uh-huh.
So here again, the chances of your luggage on a real tight flight is that it may not make it, even though you would think that if you could, it can, and it's not the case.
You told me your wife sat next to somebody very interesting.
We've talked about on this show people that you do not want to sit next to. Sometimes you can tell who they're going to be, and sometimes you can't tell that the lady that you sat next to, my wife's case, had come from a very ugly family gathering where they took her to the airport and dumped her off 8 hours before her flight as a result. She had a little bit too much to drink getting on the plane, had more to drink while on the plane, ended up basically throwing her legs up over my wife's lap and passing out right after she asked her if she wanted to make out. at which time my wife declined. But she was an extremely mothering and caring person. And as we left the plane and the woman was still in her seat, was wondering and concerned about what the outcome of this poor lady's trip was. Do they have a drunk tank at the airport?
No, they don't. But you have to be able to walk off the airplane, otherwise it doesn't end well for you.
Yeah,
so
I don't think she was walking.
She
got up and she fell back into the seat.
So the takeaways from this are, make sure that if you have a boarding pass that you print out, that it's printed strongly enough that it's going to show up when they put it onto those readers. Make sure that you allow enough time for a connection when you're running.
Don't book the last flight of the day.
Don't book the last flight of the day. And if you do, don't book a real tight connection on that last flight of the day.
There
or you'll
go.
End up like Mr. Romano in plan.
Anyway, hopefully that's some educational travel help for you today.
And like I said, I feel like a therapist. That'll be $140 for the last 7 minutes.
You're welcome.
We are the Travel Guys, and when we come back after the news, we are going to be joined by Gwen Duncan. We're going to have a lively discussion about cancellation insurance. You're buying a big travel package. The cancellation insurance is a couple $100. Is it a good deal? Is it a ripoff? We've got all the details when we come back. This is the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK every Sunday 3 to 4, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman on my left. I'm Tom Romano. Mark, I wanted to wrap up by simply also pointing out that we had a Southwest Airlines agent in Phoenix that made every effort possible to make our boarding on the flight when we arrived from San Antonio, I should say, to Phoenix, to when we got to Phoenix, to make that connection. They tried to, you know, kind of like say, well, we're going to put down that you're going to need a wheelchair, which means that we're going to kind of keep a couple of seats open at the front of the plane so that when you get there, at least two of the passengers can maybe exit the plane early because they're at the front of the plane.
Ah.
Unfortunately, that information, as kind as she was, never really got translated from San Antonio to Phoenix. They looked at us like we were nuts when we tried to explain. Didn't somebody call
but
ahead?
But it sounds like at least that people were trying to help you. And I think that's the point is that of all of this, is that if people are being courteous and they're trying to help you and they're being honest with you and they're doing their best, why, then that's all that anybody can really ask. It's if they're BSing you and shining you on or giving you an answer that tells you, well, as soon as they give it, that they really don't give a damn. Why, that's the thing. I had some interesting travel adventures of my own this past week.
Yes, I was going to ask you. Tell me where you've been, what you've been doing.
We took some people to the Rose Parade, and we take them down by plane and by train. We hook a private car onto the back of the Coast Starlight and take them down, and they get wined and dined, and
awesome.
It's an all, you know, coast. They pick it up in Oakland at about 8:45 in the morning, gets into Van Nuys about 7:30 at night. That's, of course, if Amtrak is on time. On the 30th of December, let it be stated that Amtrak, the Coast Starlight, was not on time.
Mm.
It wasn't 30 minutes or an hour late or even 2 hours late or even three or ridiculously 4 or 5 hours late. Amtrak rolled into Van Nuys 8 hours late.
Oh my gosh.
So they're due in there at 7:45 at night. So they pulled in about 3:45 in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
So people didn't even get on the train in Oakland until almost 5:00 in the afternoon. So all I would just say about Amtrak is that, and I want to just say this about the people who were on this trip. They were amazing. I met them. I had taken the flight group down, and I got up in the morning, had their keys, was waiting for them and their tour director when they got into the Holiday Inn in Burbank at 4:30. And, well, actually, it was closer to 5 in the morning. They were terrific about it. I mean, everybody was, you know, sometimes people yell and scream and they throw temper tantrums and do things because they're angry and they're mad and they want somebody to be mad at. But everybody was very nice, and very courteous. And the folks, the Holiday Inn in Burbank has become a really nice place to stay. And downtown Burbank is a great place with restaurants and all. If you haven't been there for a while, it's very different than it used to be. So it's someplace that I recommend. But folks had a good time at the Rose Parade. They got a little bit frozen. But I guess the point is, if you're going on Amtrak and you have to be there in a hurry, pick another way to get there, because the train doesn't have any real reliability, and there's no sense of urgency with Amtrak people. I mean, they don't, you know, the train's 2 hours behind now, it's 3 hours behind now, it's 4 hours behind, and we just spend 30 minutes sitting in the station waiting for somebody's dog to take a leak. I mean, you know, so it's just, maybe that was you. Anyway,
did they give you a reason for the delay?
They did not.
Okay.
But it just got worse and worse and worse, and their Amtrak schedule is very padded, so there are ways for them to make up time and stuff, but whatever it was with this train, they just had an issue, and it's not a blanket condemnation of Amtrak because they have these issues on a regular basis, and I think people who ride the train ride it for the scenery and because they like riding the train and the like, but kudos to the sports leisure travelers who put up with that long delay and didn't let it ruin their vacation and went down and had lunch at the Reagan Library underneath Air Force One and went to the Rose Parade. And I met them when they came in. It seemed like they had a wonderful time.
Good.
But no thanks to Amtrak.
Bye.
Yuck. Joining us on the phone right now is Gwen Duncan. Gwen, you there?
Well, hello there, guys.
We're just here whining and sniveling and talking about our. Have you been any place over the holidays, Gwen?
No, we stayed home this time. Usually we try to.
So
it
you don't.
Like you had a harrowing experience.
Well, we kind of did, but you know, with Amtrak, it's kind of like a Green and Barrett sort of thing. Listen, we've told folks for a number of weeks that we were going to at some point talk about cancellation protection and why that you should have this. And you know, somebody goes and they buy a cruise for $4,000 and there's two of them and it's $8,000 and cancellation protection is $375 or something like that, pulling a number strictly. And you think, wow, that's a lot of money. But what if something happens? Gwen, help our travelers here. You sent me a list of four major considerations when purchasing travel insurance. And I think you have just really nailed it. Share with us what you think those four considerations should be.
I sure will. The first thing that the biggest consideration is your age. this is applicable if you're dealing directly with a travel insurance provider. It isn't necessarily an issue when buying from a vendor where the age is not an issue. But that's something you have to really consider. 70 years of age and up, it gets quite expensive for travel insurance. And then number two is when you're choosing what you want to have covered, provided that you're considering this seriously, you have to look at what state you're from, because some of these insurance carriers will only insure certain states. And so that's kind of interesting. The third thing is the state of your health and your relatives. If you have a problem with pre-existing condition or a relative with pre-existing condition that would interfere with your trip, then that's going to be a major concern. And we can talk about pre-existing a little bit later. And then your risk factor. If you're only buying an airline ticket, you may not figure it's important to insure it, because you can use that ticket up to a year, but you do have to pay a change fee. Other than that, the more expensive the trip, how much are you willing to lose?
And I guess you know what it comes down to, Gwen and Tom, is that, I mean, Tom, you're kind of a typical average traveler. You stated that at the beginning of the program. If you and your wife were going on a cruise, and let's say you were going to Mexico for a week, and it was a couple of grand a piece, so it's $4,000 to go to Mexico for a week. You're not over 70 years old. I mean, would you consider insuring that? What would you do?
Well, here again, I think, you know, and Gwen, I think, brought it up, you can consider the amount that you're spending on a trip,
right?
Your health, and whether the opportunity or that something might come up would cancel it. I would probably base whether I would get cancellation insurance more so on the total dollar amount that I'm putting at risk. If I'm putting $4,000 or $5,000 of vacation at risk, I realize that maybe I'm not flying at Southwest, where I can, you know, I can change that flight without fees. But I was an airline where I was going to be charged a couple of $100 and so forth. Then I would consider it, and I would probably base it on how much that insurance was.
Now, there are a couple of different types of insurance. There's insurance that covers you in the case of an emergency. And in some cases, like at my company, if you take our cancellation protection, you have to document it with a doctor's note or some type of documentation if you've had an emergency where you want to collect on that coverage. But Gwen, now there's a new twist out there where people can get insurance that will allow them to cancel for any reason. And it seems to me like that would have to be incredibly expensive, because if I just got up and said, well, you know, my niece is graduating from college and I'm going to have to cancel this trip. It seems like there'd be a lot of liability to the companies that provide the services. So is that cancel for any reason insurance a good thing?
Well, for the most part, I would say no, because if it was geared around the thought that the vendor would end up having to dig into their pocket. And so it's risking about the people who get up and have a bad hair day, decide I don't want to go on the trip. Everybody would buy it if they were going to get all their money back. And so cancel for any reason rarely pays back the entire amount. It's usually up to 75% is the most. And so they gear it around that. So
and don't some of those cancel for any reason things? Some of them are reimbursed in the form of a future travel credit also.
That's right.
So you have to be careful. With that type of coverage, in that you're getting what it is that you pay for. And it sounds like in Tom's case, he's more of a peace of mind guy. As the numbers get up higher, then he's more likely to insure that. Let's face it, you know, nobody insures. It's kind of funny. Sometimes you get somebody who has bought a package 6 months ago, and then they call you 2 months before departure because they've been to the doctor and something is wrong. Now they want to buy cancellation protection, and you're trying to explain to them that you can't buy fire insurance once you notice that the basement is burning. And also that if there are some companies that if you have two or three claims against them, they won't insure you anymore. And sometimes customers get upset about that. And I just say, well, if you owned an insurance, if you bought fire insurance and your house burned down three times, as an insurance company, would you insure that house a fourth time? I don't think so.
I don't think so. But this brings up a consideration that your audience may be interested in. It's the pre-existing condition. A lot of people don't understand what that is. And it's a real consideration for the pricing and for your coverage. but a pre-existing condition as an injury, mm-hmm. it's an illness. It could be a disease or any other medical condition that occurs prior to your travel effective date. And when you had a symptoms and sought diagnosis, medical treatment, and or a new prescription medication or a change in your current medication. What that means is the insurance company does two things. They look back for a look back period in medical stable. And if you were told to do certain things and you did not do those things, then you're not going to be covered.
So
even if you had the
pre-existing condition thing really is an important thing when it comes to taking insurance and making sure that that condition that you already have, that heart issue or whatever it is that you already have, is covered by that protection.
Right. Now, there's two different elements. One is the look back period, and this one, different insurances do it differently. Some of them is as short as 60 days, and some of them is as much as 180 days. The shorter look back is the better one. But it says the look back period is really the amount of time prior to your travel policy's effective date that the insurance company will review your four pre-existing conditions.
Wow.
And if you end up filing a claim, and if you were medically stable during that look back, then it's not considered a pre-existing condition, which is good.
It all gets very, very complicated. But the reality is, if you're buying a big travel package, you need to consider the possibility of cancellation protection or cancellation insurance. If you go to travelguysradio.com, we have posted an article, Travel Insurance Coverage Tips from Rick Steves. It's a pretty good article, and it's pretty comprehensive. It talks about some of the things that we were talking about here. And of course, you can get a hold of Gwen by going to travelguysradio.com, because there's a link there to Cordially Yours Travel. Gwen, we're running out of time here, so we need to move on down the road. Thank you so much for your input and your professional wisdom there. I really appreciate I appreciate your list. And I really think you kind of nailed it here with age, state of your health, the state that you live in relative to your insurance carrier, and what your risk factor is, how much you're willing to lose. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks with a really good deal.
Okay. Goodbye, Tom, too.
Bye, Gwen. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, thank you.
All right. Let's take a break, buddy, shall we, and come back for the last segment here?
Yeah, let's do. When we come back, we remember Lee Nichols, former KFBK Air personality, right here on The Travel Guys.
News Radio KFBK.
We're grooving, ladies and gentlemen. When? Go ahead, guys. On a Sunday afternoon.
You knew they were going to say that.
I did. I've heard this song once.
Once.
We're the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us. Tell your friends. We're here every Sunday from 3 to 4 to make you a smarter traveler. And in some cases, we award prizes, Mark.
Sometimes we do, and we are about to award one now. We have this little thing where we do for people who have traveled with Sports Leisure Vacations. And if they are listening to their name, we give them a prize. So we're going to change a little bit here for the first of the year. And from now on, if you're listening to the radio and you hear your name, you win $100.
From now on.
If you don't call in, then the next week it's $200.
Oh, my gosh.
And the next week it's $300 until somebody wins it.
So we're doing $100 cold cash.
Goes up a week.
Is
well,
that
no,
right?
It's not cold cash. It's a Sports Leisure Vacations travel card.
Well, I'm glad I asked that.
I'm glad you asked that. And so it'll go up $100 a week for every week that it's not run. So our first contestant in the new contest format is Barry Babeko. Mary traveled to see Kinky Boots with Sports Leisure Vacations.
Mary who?
Babeko. B-A-B-A-Y-C-O.
Okay, Mary.
Mary's traveled with us for a long time.
Got to make that call.
If you call the office Monday or Tuesday, you win a $100 travel card. If you don't, the person next week has a chance to win a $200 travel card.
Call Monday. Don't call now.
No.
Because Mark is here, not there.
We're closed. Hey, listen, we have a website called travelguysradio.com. And on there, we put not only links to everything that we talk about during the program, news stories and stuff like that, but just cool things that we think that you might enjoy. And there is one link on our website this week that I know you will enjoy.
I'm there. Which one is it?
It's the 10 most astonishing travel videos of 2014. If you are a dog or a cat lover, there is one of each of the 10 that are specifically a dog or a cat lover would enjoy. But there is just they are a lot of fun. I spent almost an hour watching them all this morning, Tom. And so just go to travelguysradio.com, and below the show description there, you can click on 10 astonishing travel videos for 2014, and give yourself a couple of minutes because they are, or bookmark it or something, because they are a lot of fun. It's really worth looking at. The airline baggage list is there, and some other interesting things that you can find on our website. If you go to the Travel Guys Radio website, I promise you, you won't leave there real quickly, because if you're a traveler, you'll always find interesting things there. TravelGuysRadio.com.
Well, there you go. Mark, I understand that you went to a service yesterday for Lee Nichols, a longtime broadcaster, and worked in the marketing industry here in Sacramento. I was familiar with Lee. Unfortunately, our paths never really crossed in the radio world, as he was on the air in the mid-'80s on KFBK, while at that time I was working over at KXOA for the fabulous Music of Your Life broadcast station.
Where we met,
yeah. And in fact, our current president of broadcasting here for iHeart Media, mm-hmm. John Gary, was at the helm at that time as well. But anyway, you had a chance to
yesterday know at Capital Public Radio, a bunch of folks gathered to remember a Sacramento State professor and communications man by the name of Lee Nichols. Lee was on the air here for a couple of years in the 80s and did the afternoon drive program. He really was a man who, he mentored a lot of people. He helped a lot of people. He touched a lot of people in his life. If there are folks out there listening to this who knew him, they will know exactly what I'm talking about. He was married. He had five children. And along the path of life, he decided that he was a gay man and that he was going to live his life that way. And the way he revealed that, he was on the air here one day at KFBK, and he just in the course of a conversation revealed that he was a gay man, and it wasn't that big of a deal to him. And they were talking about relationships or something like that. And I happened to be listening to the radio that day. I was driving around town, and I trying to figure out where I was in my own life. And when he said that on the radio, I thought, wow, that man has a lot of courage. And I tuned in the next day to see if he was still on the air.
And here again, this would have been in the mid to early 80s. So that would be pretty bold. Yeah,
not too long after Morton Downey Jr. made a bad joke on this radio station and got thrown off of the air immediately. Mm-hmm. For an ethnic slur. And so I wanted to make sure that he would still be on the air the next day. And when he was, at credit to this radio station, when he was on the air the next day, I thought, there's a man with a lot of courage. And I will tell you that from that day in that car, hearing him on the air say that changed the direction of my life. I never met Lee Nichols personally. Was in a room with him, heard him speak and speak to groups of people on two or three occasions, heard him on the radio a number of times here at KFBK, but never actually met the man in person. But it just goes to show you that people who sit behind these microphones have an incredible amount of power, and power that can be good, bad, or otherwise, the power to be able to influence people's lives and to change them. And indeed, driving down the street one day, listening to a radio station, Lee Nichols said something that changed my life. And people who have the power to do things like that, and he did that all throughout his career. He was a professor at Sac State. He was a KVIE executive for a period of time. Mm-hmm. He worked with, helped to get national NPR into town and off of just the student station at Sac State and making a legitimate national public radio outlet. So he was a man who had a lot of influence in a lot of areas in a lot of different places. Interestingly enough, yesterday at his services, all of his surviving children were there. His ex-wife was there. There were ex-mayors, ex-supervisors. It was a who's who of Sacramento. It really was. I felt somewhat displaced. Until someone got up and accounted a story that was fairly similar to mine. And it was just quite amazing. So I just a tip of the cap to Lee Nichols, a better man than Gunga Din, it says here. He was a man who influenced a lot of people's lives. He was an SOB to some folks and had a big ego. And some of those stories were related yesterday also. But he was a man who made a difference. And, Frank LaRosa, Steve's brother, was sure. The MC who did a brilliant, spectacular job yesterday as the MC of this memorial service. And he said something about, as you get older, you kind of realize that maybe one of the reasons we're here on this planet is to kind of help each other get through it.
There you go.
And,
you
this,
know.
And this was a guy who helped other people get through it. So farewell to Lee Nichols. He was a good man, and a lot of folks came out yesterday to express that.
Well, it's only farewell for one more week. Is wrapping up the first Travel Guys radio program for 2015. We'll be back next week at 3 o'clock. Be sure to listen during the week. Mark will have the travel tip of the week on the radio for you. And in the meantime, Mark, you have a great week, okay?
Same to you, Mr. Romano, and I'll see you back here in these chairs next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
All right. News is next. Stay tuned. It's KFBK News Radio.